Joining us this morning from the Cleveland Institute of Art is the president, Grafton Nunes, who is coming in the studio. Thanks for stopping by today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, Craig, you need to be sort of explain how this whole thing came about, that we've got Grafton in the studio today.
Well, you know, I go to the auto show Media Preview every year, and it was there that I met Mark Inglis from CIA. And he was there because a lot of students were there from the Institute of Art because of the design of automobiles and SUVs and different things like that. And even though I was fully aware of the Cleveland Institute of Art and had been for many years, I was not aware that there was this automotive component to it, design. And so I thought, if I don't know about it, maybe some other folks don't know too. So let's have Grafton in.
So tell us a little bit about that, the connection where you have people from CIA actually seeing a finished product there on the floor of an auto show.
Well, you know, the CIA has been involved in industrial design and product design for a very long time. Actually, CIA was the first school in the United States to teach industrial design. And we founded the field as a field of study. And the Mustang was designed by a CIA graduate. The first woman to be a car designer at any American car company at Hudson was a graduate of CIA. The head of design for Corvette is a CIA graduate. The Crossfire was designed by a CIA student. The Genesis was designed by a CIA student. The head of international design for Nissan for many years was a CIA graduate. So we have been involved in car design since 1932.
Do you actually have sort of classes in that specific discipline?
Yeah, we do. It's part of our industrial design program. We have designers from Detroit who drive to Cleveland every Saturday to teach our students. Part of that is because we want to have the working professionals teach our students. From their standpoint, they want to have first dibs on the talent. They want to see the students who are studying car design and transportation design at CIA so that they can recruit the talent.
What is some of that process? Because when I've seen car design, sometimes you see people sculpting a model of some sort. But I wonder if computers have sort of taken that over, or you now have maybe 3D printers that can kind of come up with something similar to that. What's the technology and how this goes together?
It's all the above. You do design. Start with the sketchbook. Our students are founded in the process of drawing. We stress drawing. There's no substitute for working your ideas out on a piece of paper. And then they go into computer design. We'll carve a model out of clay, and then there's also fabrication using a computer fabricator. We use all of the tools, but regardless of the tool, the important thing is the process. You really hit on it. It's the process, the way of coming up with an idea, researching an idea, working in a collaborative way with other design students, testing the idea, selling the idea to your client, and actually bringing the idea through to fruition. And there's a whole structured process, and we've been very successful since 1932 in teaching that process to our students. And with that process, they can go and really do any kind of design. And they've been very successful at designing cars, but also products. The Swiffer, the Dirt Devil, Little Tykes, the Spin Brush, all of the designers at MTD, which designs Cub Cadet ride on lawnmowers, all of them are CIA graduates. We apply that process across the board throughout product design and have been very, very successful for our students with it.
I will never look at my Swiffer the same way again.
Every time you look at a product like
that. I know.
As we look in our studio here, I'm looking at like a tape dispenser or a stapler. All those things at some point started as a design.
That's right. That's right. They're all engineered, but then what design adds is how does it interface with the user? We're very concerned with its how it fits in the hand, how it appeals to the eye. You want to be able to use it easily, and you want to appreciate the way that it looks. You want to be with it because it looks good.
Your students can go on field trips to the grocery store just to get ideas.
Oh, they absolutely
do. The shelves are filled with new bottles, soap dispense bottles, you're thinking, and then a ketchup bottle, they turn upside down, they come up with sort of different ways like that.
Well, you walk through our halls and you'll see students who have redesigned bottles. They'll have new ways of conceiving of bottles, making them easier to use. That is exactly the kind of thing that our students do. They're looking at the familiar and saying, how can it be better?
What about from the Institute's standpoint for design or art for the sake of art, not mm-hmm. for commerce, which a lot
sure.
of this is related to?
Well, you know, it's interesting. CIA has always been interested in the balance between fine art and applied art. And so we've had some of the great American artists who have been trained at CIA, people like Julian Stanzik, Richard Anuskevich, Robert Mangold, Dana Schutz. These are people whose work commands, you know, six figures in the international art market. So that we've actually always been known for that. And it's now becoming really clear of how prominent we have been in product design as well. Probably the greatest goldsmith of the 20th century, John Paul Miller, just died. And John Paul Miller taught at CIA for you know 35 years, was a graduate of CIA, but his work is in collections all over the world as the premier goldsmith in America in the 20th century. So we've really run the gamut of fine art and applied art.
Well, you also have visual art there too.
Yeah.
You have the Cinematheque that's there.
The Cinematheque, which is one of the great gems of Northeast Ohio. Actually internationally recognized. John Ewing, who runs the Cinematheque, was 2 years ago was knighted by the French government for his contributions to cinema culture, for the work that he's done with the Cinematheque, showing international films in this part of the country.
And he's never been the same since, I suppose.
Oh, he you call him Sir John, and he blushes and he kicks the can down the road.
How is the way you represent Cleveland? Because that's really mm-hmm. part of Cleveland Institute of Art.
Right.
You mentioned
right.
how this is kind of known internationally
that's
as
right.
well. Does it bring a lot of students to that, or do you kind of have homegrown talent that comes out of your
You know, I would say that we have about 50% of our students who come from Northeast Ohio, and then 50% of our students come from the rest of the United States and the rest of the world. We've been actually very successful in China. And the reputation that Cleveland has in China is very high. People say, "Oh, Cleveland, one of the great cities in the United States." We have had extraordinary success in China, and we're getting increasing numbers of students who are coming because they want to come here to study product design, and they want to study biomedical art. Those are two areas that have been extremely successful internationally.
What brought you here to CIA?
Well, they called me and asked me if I'd be interested. I had actually first come to Cleveland in 1979 when I was working for Paramount Pictures doing research for a movie about bar band rock and roll. And we were traveling all through the Midwest interviewing Bruce Springsteen and Bob Seger and Ted Nugent and doing research on people who work in factories during the day and play in rock and roll bars at night. And this movie was going to be with Bruce Springsteen and Richard Gere. And we were looking, where would we shoot this movie? And it became clear the instant that we came to Cleveland that Cleveland had to be the location. It had the most sophisticated rock audiences anywhere in the country. It had a real culture of people, even at noontime, going to rock and roll concerts to noontime rock concerts. We would go down to the flats and we would see a banker, a lawyer, a policeman, a construction worker, a sanitation guy standing at the bar listening to rock and roll at noontime. And that's something that's very unique and very special. It was clear that people in Cleveland love to come together from all walks of life to enjoy music. And so Cleveland was it. So we did our research, we wrote our screenplay. Paramount decided not to make that movie. They were going to make An Officer and a Gentleman instead. But a few years later, it was made as Light of Day with Joan Jett and Michael J. Fox. It was shot in Cleveland at the Euclid Tavern. And it really is one of the best movies about rock and roll, because it's not about superstars. It's about people who love rock and roll, live rock and roll. It's part of their lives. It's part of what gets them through their lives. And I think it's very tied to the city that it takes place in. So I think it's a very good movie, and I'm very proud of it. But I came to Cleveland the first time to work on that movie. And then when they called me 30 years later and said, would you be interested in being president of the Cleveland Institute of Art? I said, well, Cleveland, it's great. And the reputation of the Cleveland Institute of Art, it's great. Sure, I'm interested.
You talk about rock and roll and art. It's interesting, if you look at the history of a lot of rock and rollers, they started in art school. You have the whole thing with the Stones or even Queen, these people that have sort of an artistic background,
right,
want to have an expression, and they find some guy next to them drawing, and they come up, I play drums, you play bass, let's...
That's right. John Lennon, Jim Morrison, they all had an art background. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
You mentioned something before that caught my eye, biomedical art. Yeah. You said that just in passing. What exactly is that?
Well, you know, when you watch the Today Show and they're going to do a segment on a new medical procedure, they show a 3D animation that shows you the way that the body works with regards to this condition or this treatment. If you go to the doctor can sit there and can explain to you what a treatment might be, what a condition might be, or he or she might show you a video, a DVD, that shows exactly how the muscles work, how the treatment is going to affect the bone. That's what our students do. Our students take anatomy classes at Case Western Reserve. They are artists and they're scientists. So it's a real merger of a very rigorous scientific training with a rigorous artistic training as well, because it's got to be accurate. And more medical procedures are relying on visual means to communicate basic information more than ever before. I mean, we live in an increasingly visual world. We communicate basic information through visuals. Our students are eloquent in telling a visual story. That's really what we're teaching. We're teaching how to express oneself visually. And that has applications everywhere in our culture. So it's not just your grandmother's art school with somebody who's going to go off into a garret and paint pictures and starve. Our students, over 90% of our students, are working within 6 months of graduating from school. And we have a default rate of only 0.7%. We have one student who is defaulted on their student loans. That indicates that our students have gainful employment. They're paying back their loans. So, you know, we teach our students a process, and we prepare them and we nurture them, and then we help them to get work.
How does someone get into the Cleveland Institute of Art? Is it a long process? Difficult?
It's a portfolio.
Okay.
The portfolio, they file an application. There's a portfolio and letters of recommendation. We would like to see some essays, because it's very important as an artist to be able to express yourself verbally as well as visually. Like everything in life, you've got to be able to explain to people who you are, what you're doing, why you're doing it, and why your work is valuable. So verbal expression is important to us, but visual expression is really important to us. And so we look at the portfolio.
Which indicates from before, you talk about how everybody probably walks around with a sketch pad. And that's
yes.
Still kind of the key to the whole thing. And if you were to give advice to somebody about pursuing this field, this kind of a discipline, you would say, get out a sketchbook and start sketching.
Start sketching. You know, I've talked to employers who say that the reason they hire our students is that they get the portfolio and they say it's really nice, But then they ask the students to see their sketch pad.
Uh-oh.
Because the sketch pad shows their process. You look at a portfolio, it's a finished product. Well, you're not hiring a finished product. You're hiring a process. So you want to see the process. And you look through the sketch pad, and you see how the visual idea got developed. And so that's what is the key. And in design and in art, you think with a pencil. You think with a piece of paper. That's how you work out your ideas. Then you refine it, you develop it, and you make it into something that's a final product.
Our guest today has been President Grafton Nunes with the Cleveland Institute of Art. Do you have things open to the public? I know the Cinematheque is open to the public.
Yes.
What about art shows or things that might be coming up for the springtime that's happening with all the
universities? We actually have a show that's opening today, and it's a wonderful installation. It's a piece that was we have commissioned by a wonderful Swiss artist named Beat Zoderer. And that opens today. It's in our Rheinberger Gallery, which is in our building on East Boulevard, right across from the Cleveland Museum of Art.
Do you ever get any misdirected CIA mail?
Well, you know, it's very interesting that when I first got the job, I was going to Washington to meet with our two senators. And I was going through Homeland Security, and I had the CIA pin on. And they were being really nice to me. And as I got through, the head of the unit walked over to me, put his arm around me, and he said, "I see you're going to Washington. Say hello to the boss for me."
Wow.
And I'm thinking, you know, if I was really a spy, would I advertise?
Exactly right there. Good afternoon, President of CIA, Cleveland Institute of Art. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.